Let's now turn to our own apocalyptic politics, if you will. I'm joined by Wayne Slater, who is a senior political writer for the Dallas Morning News, a position he was appointed to after 15 years as Austin bureau chief. He's the co-author with James Moore of the New York Times bestseller Bush's Brain, How Karl Rove Made George W. Bush Presidential, which was made into a feature documentary. Wayne Slater has covered every Republican and Democratic National Convention since 1988 and the administration of Texas Governors Bill Clement, Ann Richards, George W. Bush, and Rick Perry. Welcome to Background Briefing, Wayne Slater.
It's always wonderful to be on with you, Ian.
And Wayne, you were on Saturday down there in Houston at the Reliance Stadium for this political religious meeting. It seemed to be a fusion of a revival meeting and a possible presidential toe in the water for Rick Perry. Give us your impressions of it.
It was an extraordinary event. It really was. I mean, this was at a football stadium, Reliance Stadium, where the Texans NFL football team play. 30,000 people, maybe more, showed up. It was a seven-hour nonstop revival meeting where you had prayer, where you had songs, and where you had fairly brief speeches or sermons or sermonettes, including one by Rick Perry. What you saw were evangelicals, Texas evangelicals for the most part, but people came from other, bussed in from other places, who were listening to the music, holding their hands up. It looked like exactly what happens at hundreds, maybe thousands of evangelical churches across the country. And yet there was this political message in the context of a claim that this was not political, and that was our government is broken, things are bad, but the solution is to ask God to fix it.
And is God's representative on earth Rick Perry, since he organized it? And I understand that many of the pastors who belong to this new apostolic reformation who organized it have basically seen him as thus. Back in 2009, two Texas pastors told Rick Perry, a chain of powerful prophecies had proclaimed that Texas was the prophet state, anointed by God to lead the United States into revival and godly government, and that the governor would have a special role.
You know what I think that's taken me a bit to understand is that these are not people. We tend to think that the critics of the Washington and spending or government policy with respect to gay marriage or abortion and the social and populist fiscal themes, we tend to think of these people as people who want less government, especially the populist Tea Party types. In fact, or maybe in some cases, virtually no government. That's not who these people are. These people want a different kind of government, a government that's more Christological, that's more Christ-centric, a government that follows basically biblical principles, biblical rules, even in some cases, the idea of biblical law. And several of these folks see Rick Perry as exactly the kind of public figure, as they get more active in the political process from a religious platform, that Perry is the kind of political figure who represents their goal of having a biblically guided government. If you will, it would be literally a government, one nation under God, literally.
Well, apparently, according to the manifesto of the New Apostolic Reformation and a number of the people involved in its formation, Peter Wagner and Cindy Jacobs, Lou Engel were a part of this group, along with Donald Wildman, the pastor who was also one of the organizers, who believes that. That Christians only are, I mean, he believes in a Christian theocracy here in the United States, and that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights do not pertain to other religions but Christian. So they're talking here about a dominion over government, but their terms, that they use the term the seven mountains of society, which include the media and the arts and the entertainment world. But the first one, of course, is the political one, where they have to find a leader to lead, an army of God to command a civilian government.
Well, now, you know, we shouldn't mislead the folks who listen to your show. I've covered Rick Perry, been around Rick Perry for 20 years. He is a conventional, if very conservative, Republican chief executive, or a chief executive of a state. I don't for a minute believe that Rick Perry himself would establish a theocracy, if he were president of the United States. What I do believe is that he is a religiously, he has a deep religious faith, and that he sees politically the advantage of associating himself and reflecting the idea, at least, that he could be the candidate of Christian conservatives, social conservatives, who are so important in the early primary and caucus states, Iowa, South Carolina, and Florida. And the thing that the Perry people really have understood, and Rick Perry was one of the first people in the country, political, state-level or national political figures, to recognize the importance of the rise of the Tea Party back in 2009, and he jumped aboard, and I think he really saw what was happening. And what was happening in this case is that people tend to think of evangelicals as folks who care about social issues, the abortion, gay marriage, religious expression, and that the Tea Party is a fiscal, a culturally fiscal operation who care about spending and government, anti-Washington, and so forth. What Perry's team understands, I think, is that there is an enormous overlap, or there is a significant overlap between these two sides. These are the evangelicals, folks who believe in absolute terms with respect to the social issues, but also believe passionately and absolutely that spending issues, that Washington, that taking our money for some other purpose is theft. They believe almost in the same kind of absolute moral terms in those. These evangelicals who have both the social and the religious agenda that they hold important are the target that Rick Perry's aiming at right now. And while the Christian conservatives were on display yesterday for 7 hours, and I was in the hall for 7 hours at the rally, it is these Christian conservative evangelicals who Rick Perry thinks are his ticket to the Republican nomination.
And did you coin that word, evangelical?
I probably heard it somewhere. But some people say
it's a good one, Wayne.
I think some people say I did.
Again, I'm speaking with Wayne Slater, a senior political writer for the Dallas Morning News. He was at the religious political rally that Governor Rick Perry of Texas organized. And, of course, Rick Perry's ads are being played in Iowa. Whether or not he's sanctioned it, it's an outside group of Texas backers of him that are funding this apparently fairly extensive ad campaign in Iowa. And of course, the coming week is a big week for Iowa, culminating next weekend with the straw poll. They'll be having another debate there early in the week. But you've defended Perry from the theocracy charge, but he has actually, Wayne, he's talked about secession, which is, I think, to be fair, pretty irresponsible, given we had a civil war over that issue.
Although that is a kind of religious sense to it.
Right. But he also, in the galleys of this his autobiography, which I don't know that he's going to publish now, he apparently is against the 16th Amendment and the 17th Amendment. And the 17th Amendment, of course, is the amendment prior to that. Senators were not directly elected by the people of this country. They were elected by the legislatures, all of which were heavily influenced by railroad barons, etc. So there's no question that the 17th Amendment was one of the healthiest things that ever happened to American democracy. How could this guy be against it?
There is a group. There are two things that are interesting to crow out of this. There is a significant group of conservative heritage Heritage Group in Washington and other conservatives who have sort of espoused this idea, which I didn't know about until I really read what Rick Perry had written. And it is all part of the idea of having the state, changing the way we pick our senators and return to the idea that legislatures would be involved. It really is all part of an idea that comes out of the 10th Amendment, and that's the states' rights idea, that states should have more responsibility than that they should be doing more, that Washington has been infringing on the rights of the states in too many areas. And so the idea that he would recommend this really grows out of a larger, just sort of general idea that government should be local, that the state is being infringed upon by Washington, and that states' rights is a significant call. And in this case, the legislatures, a government closer to home, would be involved in the selection process. You're right in your history. It really would in many ways seem to be a return to something that was corrupt. But I think, as someone has said, and I've repeated it, these people love the Constitution, so let's change it all the time. Let's change these various amendments that we don't like about abortion, gay marriage, the selection of senators, and so forth. But it all comes out of this states' rights idea. Now, the second thing that makes this interesting is that I think this whole commitment to states' rights, which Perry espouses as a religion, which is very popular here in the South, has gotten him in trouble recently. He in his presidential bid, and I think has indicated, or at least has raised the possibility, that he may not be ready for prime time after all. Not long ago, in a meeting at a panel in Aspen, maybe a month ago or so, he was asked about New York passing. Approving passing gay marriage. He said, fine, that's fine with him. States ought to have the right to do what they want to do. And he was espousing his states' rights position as a conservative mantra. The problem is that collided head on with another conservative mantra, the social conservative requirement, opposition to gay marriage. And in this case, to make a long story real short, he backed off. When those two fundamental ideas in the Republican political world collided, the social, religious, conservative opposition to gay marriage was where he ended up, saying that, no, he would approve a constitutional amendment that would ban gay marriage. In other words, he's for states' rights, except when he's against states' rights.
Right.
Or states' rights, except when you, except in
case. Right. Well, I guess the politician got the better of the pastor in that case.
I think so. That's pretty good. Yeah.
But I thank you for joining us here, Wayne.
Great to be with you.
It's good to be with you again. I was speaking then with Wayne Slater, senior political writer for the Dallas Morning News, and he's the co-author with Jim Moore of the New York Times bestseller Bush's Brain, How Karl Rove Made George W. Bush Presidential. He's covered every Republican and Democratic National Convention since 1988 and the administration of Texas governors Bill Clements, Ann Richards, George W. Bush, and Rick Perry. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about this stealth new party called Americans Elect that looks like they'll be running a third-party candidate via the Internet next year.
Soldier of the cross, soldier of the cross, you carry the sword of fate. Soldier of the cross, soldier of the cross, you bring love to those who hate, you bring love.